stood out there for about 30 minutes talking to Brother Fred Furlano. They've been coming for some time. The things that you see in the computers and all that stuff working and functioning mostly well today was due to the fact of things that they put into this system to help us to do that. They invested a lot into this church. He helped me hang lights. He helped me do drywall. He's done so many things around this church. But God has opened a job opportunity for them in Colorado Springs, I believe it is, Colorado. Make sure I got the right town. And I know, as much as it hurts to see them go, one of the things that joyed my heart was they had already went and visited a church and found a United Pentecostal church way out there in Colorado. You know, it doesn't hurt as bad to release somebody if you know they found a church home to see to it that they're cared for their eternal salvation. And there will always be a place for them if they ever decide to come back home. But I ultimately, as a pastor, don't want to be a selfish pastor. I want the will of God for their lives. Amen. And I say thank you for coming and spending one last service before you hit the road. Sister Furlano's been coming pretty regularly and stopping in when she could. We're going to be losing her now. She's headed to be with her husband, which is exactly where she needs to be. Amen. Can we give this family a hand clap of appreciation for all they've invested in this church? We love them. And this is not the last time we'll see them, I'm sure, because they have some family that's with them today that's going to tell them, you know what, you need to come home every now and then and see us. Because it's a lot cheaper for you to come home than it is for us to come pay that price out there that it is in Colorado to see you. Amen. But I would like to say thank you to all of them. Matthew chapter number 2. Everybody say a gift. A gift is something that's very, very important. Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 11 says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him," everybody say, "gifts." They presented him gifts. "When they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." I want to preach just for a little while on just the simple topic of gifts. Many of you may not realize this, but there was a whole lot of money spent on Christmas this year. Anybody partake in any of that this year? How many of you have your Christmas shopping already done? That's not the note I was looking for. How many of you have your Christmas shopping already done and you're all signed, sealed, everything is wrapped and ready to go? I see two of us, three of us, maybe four of us. There's a few of us in here. I think we got one left. One last thing that I have to do. But when I went and did a research and I did a study, I found that average family, many of you may know this because you probably have done this, the average family across America, from rich to poor, no matter what your scale is, the average, when you take them all and average them out, they spend somewhere around $700 on Christmas gifts. That's a lot of money in my world. How about you? But that wasn't the staggering thing. The staggering thing is when I went a little further and took and you put all of that money spent together, and it was over $4.6 billion spent on Christmas. $4.6 billion spent on Christmas. That's a lot of money. There's a lot of things and there's something about recognizing the price of a gift is not always where the meaning comes from. Many of us look at the things that we buy our children and we enjoy, and the things that we wrap up, and the things that are heartfelt. And sometimes it's the most unique thing under the tree. You spend $150 on something for the child, and then you get them this little trinket toy. And you find Christmas Day, they never put it down. They never really pick up the expensive thing. It's that one little nuisance thing that drives you nuts. You think after Christmas is over, I never should have bought that silly thing. But they haven't laid it down. They've played with it. They've enjoyed it. And you find that you sit in the floor and you find it's kind of fun yourself after a while. You're playing with those things and you're putting it together and you're doing all this stuff. And you realize that sometimes it's not the value of it. Sometimes the real value is not money, but it's more time. Gifts are something that I think at times are way overvalued. Gifts are something at times that I think that we put way too much effort into trying to impress and trying to please and trying to match the status quo in today's society. I would like to tell all of the children in here. I told you today this is going to be a giant Sunday school class, right, kids? Well, here's pastor's insight for the kids. What's under the present is special because somebody tried to make it special. But the real gift is not under the tree today. The real gift is something that is bigger than opening a package in a box. I asked my wife to do me a favor, and didn't she do a wonderful job of packaging us a beautiful box? Don't get too excited, kids. It's an empty box. But the reality of this box is, I heard somebody say it in the background, it's a box. There's really nothing there. It's empty. It looks good on the outside. It's all packaged up. It has all the appearance. It has everything to look right. I as a pastor, I deal a lot with families and people, and a wide variety of people, from the city planner to the sheriff to lawyers to people that don't have two nickels to rub together, and they really have no real function in life. They just try to survive. And that's the beauty of a pastor, because you get to see all aspects of life. And I don't put a value of whether you can put a dollar in the offering plate. I put a value on whether your soul is ready to meet God, whether you have a relationship with God. That's the most important thing to me as a pastor. And hear me, kids. I feel like at times the world is a giant, packaged up, pretty, but when you get to the bottom of it, it's a giant, empty box. You tear all the wrappings off of it. We spend millions of dollars and we send people to Washington, and we get up every day and we work so hard to drive a nice car, to have a home, to give to our children. And thank you for work ethic and families and moms and dads that are willing to do whatever it is so that your kids can have some of the better things in life. But we go so much into trying to chase things in this world. And the real fact is, sometimes we have to slow down and recognize that we're missing some of the most important things in the world. We walk right by the child in chase of the dollar. We walk right past the person that really needs the help the most sometimes, so that we can find status, or we can find meaning in something that really does nothing. Can I poke us a little bit on Christmas? That does nothing more than stroke our ego as people. I'm not here to pick on society, but I'm, as a pastor, here to remind us of a couple little small things at Christmas time. A hug of that little child will bring more joy in the future than the most expensive present you can put under a tree. A time well spent of reading a book. I was moved to compassion just last week. I was able to work over at Parkview Haven over in Francisville. And if you're familiar with that. And I was walking in, I was carrying a few of my tools, and as I was walking in, a school bus pulled up. Out of that school bus piled a whole bunch of kids, and I noticed every single kid had a book in their hand. And I thought, well, that's interesting. They must be doing some type of reading together today here at the library, and they all have their little book. And as they were all single filing in, I went in the boiler room and did my thing, and I come back out, and I thought, well, the senior citizens that are still able to read, it's probably rewarding to read a child a story out of a book. And as I walked into the room, I noticed something. Roles had reversed. And the senior citizens weren't reading the books to the kids. The kids were reading the books to the senior citizens. And I thought, how special is it that these kids, and you could see those little kids were sitting there on their little chairs. And I watched the one little boy because now I'm intrigued. I like to view what I'm seeing going on in the minds of people. And I'm intrigued by this. And I look at this one little boy, and he's reading so properly. And he looks up to see if they're listening. Of all the detail on the words, he was most concerned that his words that were reading were landing on the ears of someone who wanted to hear. Many of us go through life never realizing the words we're saying are falling on deaf ears. The things that we are doing often never land to a point that really mean anything. And sometimes we as a people need to bring it all back in and recognize the real gift could have came as a roaring lion, but he didn't. He came as a lamb. The real gift didn't come that standing on the top of the clouds of glory with a flaming sword saying, get right or I'm going to destroy you. He snuck in the back door and nobody noticed. He came to a virgin called Mary and said, your life's going to turn upside down. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be rejected. But inside you is the birth of hope and joy and peace for a world. And the world doesn't even know it. Wrapped inside of your womb, Mary, is the most precious thing that could ever walk on planet Earth. Wrapped inside of your womb is something that has the ability to take brokenness and put it back together again. It has the ability to take something that's been shamed and wronged and mistreated and now put meaning back in and faith back in. To believe in something after all faith has been eroded and they shouldn't even believe again, but they have the ability to because of what's in the gift. Sometimes life storms push us into certain areas, push us down certain paths. But I think many of us, we're chasing a dream that's been pursued by every generation of mankind that eventually turns into a nightmare. When we realize what we've been chasing was empty and didn't bring the satisfaction that we thought. And before we know it, we're chasing the next status quo and the latest fad. And generation after generation, it's disappointment and fear and confusion. My wife and I was at a store yesterday next door. Of course, she's a bargain shopper. She knows how to find a deal. But we walked in and they had 75% off. Can I get an amen in the house? They're selling it for what it's worth. Hallelujah. There was these little trucks. Anybody seen these little trucks? That's the new fad this year. It's like little campers and little trucks. They're painted red and they have a Christmas tree in the back. They're like 1950s or 60s trucks, and they seem to be everywhere I go. It seems like everybody's got these little truck ornaments. They're the new fad of seems like of Christmas. And I asked her, I said, What is so big about these things? She said, well, it's the new trend. It's the new, they were popular last year. She said, but now this year, everybody has these. There's people out there that actually study these things, if you can imagine that. What kind of life is that? You study trinkets for Christmas time, so you're prepared what people are going to want. I have a hard enough time deciding what I want for breakfast, let alone what I want on my Christmas tree next year. But as we began to talk, and as I was driving down the road after that, I began to think. Those fads come and those fads go, and it seems like we will throw away a Christmas tree and start all over again, and we'll get rid of ornaments and start all over again and spend thousands of dollars to be trendy and have the right fad and have the right things. And it seems like you've got your children in their gym shoes are not the right fad. So it seems like every year there's a new model got to come out, and you got to chase these things. It seems like even as individuals we go through cycles in life, and we have these things that we want to seek after. Everybody's got them. So it may be turkey hunting one year, and everybody's got to have the right gears, got to have the right gun, got to have all the right things. And then pretty soon it's fishing. You got to have the boat, and you got to have, I'm just a man, so I'll just speak men's things. Maybe it's a purse, and you got to have the right purses, and you got to have the right shoes. And I'll look at my wife, I say, those are beautiful. She'll say, no, they're not. They're out of style. And we chase after endless things that really have no meaning in life, have no way to really affect us. Really, it's nothing in life. And what a shame when you really get to the end of life and we recognize we chased all of these things all of our life. And the Christmas tree had all the stuff put around it. And we had all the trinkets and we had all the toys. And we had everything. But we don't have our salvation. We don't have a peace to go along with it. May I ask you, you can sit in the greatest high rise of the greatest banker building in the world and be the executive on the highest floor, but if you can't lay your head on a pillow at night and have peace with God and a loving family and children that still respect you, you've missed the greatest gift that God could have ever given you. And along life, you never unwrapped the thing that mattered the most, and that's the value of a soul. Gifts have meaning. Gifts have value. But the real gift was wrapped in a dirty, dusty, woven blanket, laying next to a scared, fearful mother and father just trying to make it through life. The real gift was not what was expected, but it was what was needed. You know, underneath every single tree, there are things that we put there that we know the kids will enjoy. And there's other things we put there that we know the kids have to have. In the midst of all the toys, there's usually a pair of socks somewhere, because you know the last ones don't have a hole in them. In the middle of it, Dad's all the stuff that you get him, you know he's lost every screwdriver out there. So in the middle of the packages somewhere, there's usually a screwdriver or a flashlight, because you know that's something that they really do need. You know, those needed gifts are not the most exciting. We don't bounce off of the off the couch and jump up and say, "Yeah, I got a new T-shirt." But there is something about knowing it was something that I can't live without, but someone has given me. You know, the fact of Jesus coming in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, it wasn't flashy. It wasn't the most elegant of appearances. But it was something wrapped in a gift that says you may not even recognize the need of it. You may not understand my purpose of coming. But there will come a day you're going to need me. Can't tell you the number of times I've taken one of those gifts that you've gotten in the middle of all those things and you put them in the drawer. By then, hunting season's about over. And then the next year, you're going through the drawer, you're getting ready to go hunting or go out sledding, and you're digging through that drawer and you think, oh, wow, there's a brand new pair of wool socks. I was going to have to put on four layers of socks. There's one pair. Still got the tabs on them. Never been worn. I got them last year for Christmas. And what a pleasant surprise to pull those things out and have them when you really need them. Not every single one of us at some point in our life, we're going to go through that moment. There's going to be holes in your socks and holes in your pockets. And your mom and dad's going to be a little short on the money. And there's going to be times, you know what? You're going to be digging out the quarters out of the ashtray in the truck just to buy a hamburger for lunch. Anybody ever been there before? You just don't have enough to go around. And mom and dad's always seem to find a way to squeak it out and make it happen when it really matters. But it's at that moment when you're at your wit's end and you don't know where to turn and you don't know what to do. You recognize the value of that gift and what it came for. Because you know what? You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have a lot of stocks and bonds and things in this world. But when you lay your head on that pillow that night and you just say, thank God I had enough quarters to get it done today. You can lay there in misery and say, how am I going to do it tomorrow? Or you can open the gift of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ and say, I'm not going to lay here and worry about tomorrow because I'm a child of God. And Scripture says, if the birds don't worry where their food's going to come from, as long as I get up and I work hard and I do it right, God's going to see to it that it all comes out okay. And you know what? That's the greatest gift a man could ever have. That's the greatest gift a child can go to bed. And you know what? They may not see everything that goes on in the financial world of a family, but there's something that says, I'm going to go to bed because I'm going to say my prayers with mom. I'm going to say my prayers with dad. And I know dad still loves mom because I still hear them pray together. And we still get up and go to church. And they still see a smile. I still see dad kiss mom every now and then and tell her he loves her. And you know what? You can lay your head on a pillow at night as a child and say, you know what? I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just because everybody else's marriages is falling apart, mom and dad's going to be okay because I got a prayer. I've got a God, and I know whatever comes in my world, I can turn to Him. And there's going to be times that your world is going to come crashing in. And it's not going to be because of your fault. It's not going to be because of your world. It could even sometimes be because you mismanaged money or you frustrated someone and you got fired. Sometimes it's just called life. And when life takes you by storm, you better have that gift or that storm closes in real fast. What Pastor is preaching about today is the greatest gift that God ever gave mankind. That's called hope. That simply says, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. This Christmas season, as a pastor, I want us to slow down just a little bit. Just recognize the little things in your life. I wonder if you wouldn't be so concerned about making sure that every single decoration on the table is perfect till you frustrate yourself trying to get it all just perfect. But if you would stop and say it's good enough. Come on, honey, let's go make cookies. It's good enough. Let's go play a game. Let's go do something else. This will take care of itself. It'll be all right. There comes a point in time when you realize what matters more in this gift of life is when you've been given life to give life to the next generation. There's an old saying that says, where much is given, much is required. But I think our much sometimes equivalates into money and things and status. Can I use you, Anna? Can you help, Pastor? Instead of reaching down, this will be okay, to a little girl that you love and say, Mom and Dad sure do love you. You know what will bring more peace to that child than a trinket and a toy? Is a confidence that I'm secure. Thank you. Pastor loves you too. There comes a point in time when you boil it all down and realize when we've been given a gift, it's our duty to give of ourselves. I knew I got a little bit right when I was talking to my boy just this week, and he made a statement that he didn't even know that impacted Dad. He said, Dad, I live in a pretty rough neighborhood in Indy. If you live in Indy, you know where some of the area is, where the college area is probably not the best of worlds to live in Indianapolis. He said, it's not uncommon to have people that's chosen a rougher life to beat on your window and asking for money every single day, two or three times. He said, but I was walking out of a gas station. He said, and there was a gentleman that reached out. He said he reached out, but he didn't have hands. He just had some nubs. He said, most of them, I recognize that they're just going to take the money and do something with it that probably is not going to better their life. But he said, this day I recognize this man didn't get a fair shake in life. He said, I reached in my pocket for what was left over from what I'd done, and I give it to him. He said, it might not have been much. He said, but I recognized he didn't have the blessings that I have. Sometimes we have a lot of things, and sometimes giving life means we recognize what we have and sometimes what others don't. And the greatest gift is to give back of our lives to those who don't. Reminded of a story in closing here today. Reminded of a story of a lady that hadn't had a fair shake in life. Their dad had never been much more than a presence they feared. Whenever they heard his tires, the children would race to their bedrooms to hide under their beds. He did manage to leave $15 a week to buy groceries, and now he had decided to leave. There also wouldn't be any food either. She said she loaded her kids in the car, and she drove around to all the restaurants and all the factories trying to find some place to get a job. She said finally she found a place, and it was just a very minimal amount of money, but the ladies, she said the little old lady was known as Granny in the town, and she walked over the window and peeked outside to see if the kids really were in the car, to see if she was really telling her a true story. And she saw the kids out there in the car, and she says, you know what, I'm going to give you a job, and I'm going to make it a night shift because I think it'll be easier for you as a mother. And we're open all night long, and these truckers and these people come in and out. You can serve tables, and you can make some tip money that way. And if you can find somebody that could come there and sleep while your kids are sleeping. You can put them to bed before you come to work, and you can work all night, and you'll be home before they wake up, and you'll be there with your kids when they are awake. She said it took half of her salary to pay a young lady to come and stay with those kids while she was working. She said later it came to the time that she wasn't making enough to barely make ends meet, and she recognized she was having to put air in her tires almost every single day, sometimes now to go to work and to come home, and she didn't have the money to buy the tires, and she didn't really tell anybody, but people noticed, and people had noticed things. And she said she got up the next morning just wondering if she's going to have a flat tire, and she went out to her car, and she opened the car door and looked inside the car because there was something strange in the back seat. And she said there in the back seat of her car was 4 brand new tires. Somebody had saw that she was having to come fill them tires up. And there in the back seat of her car was 4 brand new tires. She said, I didn't have the money to even put the tires on. So I went down to a local station and told the man, I'll come clean your office if you'll put my tires on. She said, I worked out a deal with him and he put my tires on. And she said later that year she was still working. It was kind of still the same thing. And as a little mom and pop restaurant, they just didn't have the money to pay her extra money. And they were just doing what they could do to help her out. And she said as Christmas was getting closer, she knew that I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'll get a couple little things and let the kids know I love them, because that's really what matters anyway. And she said I was really fretting over this. I didn't tell nobody I didn't have gifts. She said I was just going through life. And she said there came a point that she would break down crying and she would be frustrated, but yet she knew she was doing everything she could do. She said she got a phone call the day before Christmas and said, we want to do something for you. Would it be possible that we have somebody stop by on Christmas morning just to give you a couple little things that we want your family to have? And she says, well, I don't understand. She said, well, you won't understand. Just would you allow us just to stop in on Christmas morning for a little while? And she said, well, I guess that's okay. They said, well, make sure the kids are awake at a certain time and we're going to stop by. And there rolled in somebody dressed up like Santa Claus. And they had bags piled full of gifts. They had groceries. They had everything she needed for dinner. And those kids were bouncing off the walls wondering. But you know what? The greatest gift was not that those kids got a gift. It was a mom that knew somebody cared. You see, when you get the gift I'm talking about today, let's all stand. When you get the gift I'm talking about today, it just seems like it always works out. And you look back over life and you can't explain it. You don't know why and you don't know how. But somehow, it just seems God shows up every single time. But the most beautiful thing is, He doesn't show up as this big majestic God that says, you're a poor person and you didn't do it right and I'm going to show up and bail you out. He shows up as an individual, a human being, just like you and I, to put a hand on their shoulder and say, it's going to be all. You see, we are the body of Christ. And when His hands touch somebody, it comes through us. When His feet run to the poor and the problems and the frustrating things, you know what it's going to be? Those hoof prints are not a pounding hooves of a giant army. It's the soft footsteps of a caring individual that just says, I wonder, in closing today, I know as a pastor, I should be making us all bounce off the walls and say, let's go open a Christmas present. And that's all good. There's nothing wrong. It's all wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the middle of all of that, let's not forget the real most important gift that ever came to mankind. And that was the birth of someone called Jesus that came to die, shed his blood on Calvary so that you and I could have life and have life more abundantly. Can we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for all of these folks that have chosen to come out today and join us for a time of worship and a time of just being together as families. I wonder, as I'm praying, if you could grab the hands of the families that you brought with you here today. We're just going to close in a time of family prayer. If you have guests or friends next to you, as long as it's appropriate, I want you to take their hand here today. In the midst of this busy festive time, God, I ask you, God, to let families realize the real value of everything in their world does not revolve around dollars and cents and status quos in life and chasing dreams that are going to leave them empty. But the real value is having a conscience that's clear and a joy that's unspeakable and a peace that passes understanding. It says, my world may be in chaos right now, but for the strangest reason, I can lay on my pillow at night and know everything's going to be okay. Something that the world, God, can't understand and they can't explain, but it only comes through the ultimate gift, and that's the gift that you gave of your own self. Despised and rejected, abused, and then you shed your blood on Calvary. That was the ultimate gift. Cost you everything. And we didn't even know we needed it until we hit rock bottom. And there you were. That little hidden gift amongst all the other stuff of life that says, I knew you were going to need me now. And I'm here. In this season, I ask you to be that gift to every family here today. Help them to squeeze their children a little tighter. Love them a little deeper. And just give them a confidence that they love you. And you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. I hope you have the best Christmas you've ever had. I wonder if we could sing. I don't even know if he knows how to play this. This may be a challenge. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Do we dare? Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Can we give